Monty and Maz have arrived in the Hit Studios and the Mac family has arrived at Macca's. Get a free limited edition glass with every medium or large Mac family meal. The Gaundi and Maz Show.
Podcast family, hello.
Hey guys, you know sometimes dreams just come true.
What is it?
Today was one of those days.
Because I was here and not Gaundi?
No, I had never dreamed about you or Gaundi.
Moving on.
Like, no offence.
No, it's fine. I didn't take any. Nick but Kelly here, by the way. Hello.
Thanks for filling in, Nick. You're fantastic. You're great.
Thank you.
Gaundi's sick, I think. I don't know. I'm not really sure. We've been texting, but it's been about sparkling water, not about his health.
Condition. Well, I think, is this the dream that I think came true today on the show?
Jules London yes. on the show. But not just like, I love, so Jules London and I have a bit of a funny backstory.
Yeah.
He is my career nemesis because he stole a job that I went for on ESPN 20 years ago.
But you kind of came up together, right? Like you were kind of doing.
Yeah, we took very different career paths, but we both did very well. And then he got the job on Getaway and I was super jealous. And then I got a job on MTV and it was And then Jules London got this job hosting a TV show called Hole in the Wall.
It's Hole in the Wall.
Show. And it was like rated shit house.
If anyone doesn't remember what it was, basically like a moving wall. It was based on a Japanese show.
Yeah, so there's literally there's a shaped hole in the wall and the wall moves toward you. You've got to get in the right position to get through the hole or you get knocked into water. It's the most ridiculous show ever. Anyway, when Jules was hosting that, I was like, joke's on you, kiddo, because that's a dumb show.
It's Hole in the Wall.
Anyway, it came up on the show today. Because not to do with the TV show, but my husband's renovating a house and he's knocked a hole in the wall because he's taken the door out and he's boarded it up. So we started talking about Hole in the Wall and I was like, my God, wouldn't it be hilarious if Jules Lund called through because we're talking about Hole in the Wall. Boom, Jules Lund on the show.
When I saw the name pop up on the little phone machine, I was like, you're joking.
Like, not planned. Usually we plan that stuff like a day in advance. We're like, give Jules a heads up. We want to talk about the hole in the wall thing and it's a lol.
It just happened.
Not planned, but Jules Lund. Oh, my God. And he's such a good sport.
He's
such a legend.
You're going to hear whether there are possible plans for a revival in the podcast today of Hole in the Wall.
I feel like that show needs to... I know it was so dumb. It was like Celebrity Splash. Do you remember that show?
Oh, don't start me on Celebrity Splash.
Oh,
the celebrities they got for Celebrity Splash were very comical.
Who?
All I remember is Josh Thomas was on it.
Josh
who
Thomas
was the most inappropriate person to do that show. Like,
ooh, Celebrity Splash.
Surely you get people that'll like
Australian
you know,
TV series. I like that they didn't go for like the
physiques
like, just
and stuff,
buff
yeah.
people.
Which they would now, you
oh,
know.
They had. Who won? Andrew Simmons, the cricketer.
Simons was his name.
Oh, Simons.
Andrew Simons.
Oh, Simons? Simmons.
Simons.
I'm thinking of Red Simons.
You're thinking of Red Simons, yes.
But Denise Drysdale was on there.
Ding Dong.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then Ding Dong went on, she went on that other show.
She went on Hole in the Wall and she broke her ankle.
No, not Hole in the Wall, the other one.
I mean, Holy Moly. Holy Moly
with Rob Riggle.
Got all my holes mixed up. Don't get your holes mixed up, doll.
I can't get over the audio of that. She goes, give me your hand. She was chasing a gopher around, a giant gopher costume.
Yeah.
Going, give me your hand, your little furry hand. And then he wouldn't give her the hand. And then she fell over. Me arm. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was a shoulder or collarbone or something.
Collarbone, that's right.
It's Hole in the Wall.
No, wait, back to Celebrity Splash. Nick Brax.
Who?
Kobe Abbotton.
Who?
Paul Fenwick, I know that person.
Yeah.
Rin Edelston, we know her.
She's going to be on SAS.
Liesl Jones.
Josh Thomas.
And then Laura Kasortsen.
Who?
Do you know,
who
you remember Laura Kasortsen?
No.
She withdrew. I don't know why.
She withdrew because she realised how shit it was.
I don't know. Maybe she got scared of heights.
Well, Celebrity Splash has been covered well and truly.
I think that Hole in the Wall needs to come back somehow.
There's a turtle having a FaceTime date.
Okay, this is when we wrap it up. Enjoy
the
podcast. There's Jules London and a lot of other fun stuff. Enjoy. Oh my God.
Okay.
Trending right now. Hit.com.au.
Nick Kelly, are you across the story? It was making news headlines last week about the Norwegian female beach handball team.
Vaguely. It's something to do with what they normally have to wear to play the game and them refusing to do it, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So they normally, correct, have to wear bikini bottoms, and the Norwegian female beach handball team actually wore little bike shorts, and then they were issued a fine.
There's so many archaic little things to do with the Olympics, I feel. So many of these little kind of sexist things going on.
Kind of, like 100%.
Sorry, overtly sexist.
So last week we actually spoke on the show to Rose Boyd. Now she plays for the Aussie beach handball team, and she was really pro uniform changes for the female athletes.
It's actually a really sort of archaic rule that a lot of us have been putting up with for a very long time. It's an amazing sport, but there are a lot of limitations put on who actually wants to play at an international level because of this bikini rule.
And how are they justifying this, Rose?
It's just part of the rules of the game, honestly. And it's just been like that from the start. I think that there was a group of probably men sitting in a boardroom thinking about how they could make this sport a lot more
interesting to watch.
Yeah, and really draw the crowds in. You know, there comes a point where you have to say, well, why don't we have a choice as to what we can wear?
Well, this story has managed to drum up a bit of support in the name of Pink. She has added her voice to this narrative, and she has said on Twitter, "Outraged. I'm very proud of the Norwegian female beach handball team for protesting the very sexist rules about their uniform. The European Handball Federation should be fined for sexism. Good on you, ladies. I'll be happy to pay your fines for you. Keep it up."
What a woman.
Isn't that great?
Continues to be incredible, our Pink. Although we did realise that the fines are about $250 per player. So it's really just her, you know, it'll be paid for by her flinging herself around Kudos Bank Arena.
She pays her private chef a lot more than that, let's be honest. But I do think it's cool. I love that Pink has seen this story and she's like, I'll just put my money where my mouth is. I'll support these women. And then let's get some changes happening, like literally.
It's brilliant. Yeah, no, it's amazing. And she always puts her money where her mouth is, and she always supports these important, you know, things for women. And did you watch the documentary, The Pink Doco?
I haven't seen The Pink
Doco. I really enjoyed it. And
I do love a good music doco, though.
Oh, it's one of the best. And what she often talks about in that is how she wants to leave the world a better place for her girl, Willow. And obviously for her son, Jamison, as well. But
probably more Willow.
It's a
first kid.
I mean, she's
favorite.
Literally on the song, Cover Me in Sunshine. Like, there's a favourite there. There's some favouritism going on.
Poor Pink's son.
I know.
Oh, what a terrible life he has. If your mum was Pink, I mean, you just hit the jackpot for that.
Oh,
anyway,
literally.
Let's move on and talk about another celebrity parent, Kanye West. His upcoming album is called Donda, and he had a listening party late last week. So he's released the album, but then he did this listening party in a stadium in America. Now, at the listening party, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West's ex-wife, was there with their four children. So, yes, they're divorced or going through a divorce or whatever, but I do love that she's rocked up to the listening party with the kids so that the kids can see dad walk around on the stage in a red tracksuit, not perform, but just sort of like gloat in all of the glory of hearing your album played at a stadium.
He was 90 minutes late. He did not address the crowds. He walked around the bare white stadium floor as the album played on speakers.
That is what we call going full Kanye. That is the definition of full Kanye. But the song that people are talking about from this album called Donda is allegedly about Kim or for Kim. I don't know. Take a listen.
Please welcome Dr. Donda West.
Forever.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Forever.
So Kanye.
It sounds like he's trying to get the notes right.
Auto-tune doing the heavy lifting.
I know.
I'm losing my family.
Losing my family?
That might be directed at
you.
I'm losing my family.
Oh. Making it quite clear now.
Losing my family.
Yep. I think it's about the family.
My It's pretty hectic. Like,
it's intense.
You're right there, man.
But hey,
music is a form of expression. He's allowed to express himself.
Exactly. And the album's called Donda, which is his late mum's. And she passed away from an awful situation. She had breast augmentation surgery and got sepsis from it and died from that.
Complications. From elective surgery.
That's right.
But here is the thing. Kanye West has not left the stadium.
He's still there. Right
this
now.
Is the rumor. So this was last week he did the listening party. Since then, because the album isn't 100% finished, apparently Kanye West has like set up shop in the stadium. He has gotten his team to create a studio space, living quarters, and he's got a chef to prepare his meals, and he's living inside the stadium until the album is finished.
And apparently he was spotted 3 days later in the same outfit that he wore at the listening party. So he's just sort of sitting there in his own filth, sort of letting it fester
again,
into beautiful art.
It's what we call full Kanye. I've had a mum fail.
Oh no.
This is weird thing that happened yesterday, and when I realised how I had just epically failed my 2.5-year-old Henry, I was like, oh, this is inevitable, right? Like, I've got my parenting L plates. I've only been a parent for 2 and a bit years, so I don't know what I'm doing. And they don't come with a manual.
Do parents ever know what they're doing?
I don't know.
Do you ever get to a point?
I think some parents are just, like, really good at parenting, and others are just, like, wading through a hot mess of disaster. And then occasionally you have a win.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I had a fail, and I just wanted to be really honest with everyone and just tell everyone what happened, because in the moment, the good thing about having a radio show, Nick, is when you epically fail in life, the first thought that happens in your head is like, well, I can talk about this on the radio.
That's the win.
And hopefully make somebody else feel like they're not such an idiot parent. So yesterday, it's been a bit of a big couple of weeks in our house because we've been toilet training Henry.
Okay.
And that's a real process. Any parent will know if you've had a child go through the toilet training process, it's a real process.
How do you do it?
There's a lot of different strategies out there. We got an app, and there's like there's an app and a timer, and then you time them sitting on the potty, and you're trying to teach them to listen to their body. So over the weekend, like, Henry was nailing it. Like, he was really getting, you know, we got it down to like one accident a day, which is like miracle stuff. Anyway, so Glenn, my husband, drops Henry off in the morning to daycare, and then I go and get Henry in the afternoon. That's our little system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually really on top of stuff. Like, I'm usually across the community newsletter. I know what's going on at daycare. I know when it's safari week and they learn about Africa. I know when it's book week and they're reading The Hungry Caterpillar. Like, I just feel like I'm pretty on top of that.
Is there always something happening, though? Because I feel like they can get quite exhausting.
It's exhausting. Like, seriously, hats off to all of the daycare carers out there. You guys are phenomenal. Your tolerance for the wiggles is astronomical. I don't know how you do it. You're all superheroes to me.
Do they still do nap time at preschool?
Yeah, they do nap time. Henry had a sleep for 1 hour and 15 minutes yesterday, which is like a record.
Congratulations.
So he's doing really well. But I picked him up yesterday from daycare, and I realized that all the other kids were in their pajamas because it was pajama day. And Henry did not go to daycare in his pajamas. I got there and I looked, because I noticed like the carers, like his teachers, looked super cash. And I'm like, everyone looks a bit, like, relaxed and casual today. Like, and everyone looks really warm and cozy. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I looked around and I looked at his little friend Theo and then his little friend Lily. And I'm like, oh, my God, these kids are wearing their pajamas. And it's like, because I put so much effort into styling Henry every morning and I leave the clothes out the night before, and Glenn has specific instructions on how to layer what item of clothing with what. It was so obvious. Like, you couldn't just be like, oh, yeah, Henry just sleeps in that every night. Like, it's so obvious that he wasn't in his jammies.
Can we pass the buck on to Glenn, though? Because Glenn did drop him off.
No, it's
Glenn
that
did get eyes on daycare.
It's a 100% mum fail. I'll take that one. That it was my job to make sure that my child wore his pajamas to daycare, and I failed him horrendously.
Maz Compton, I come to you needing your wise counsel.
Ooh.
So I come to you as a friend, but also knowing that you are very good with kind of mindfulness techniques to take your mind off certain things.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. So I know what hat I need to put on right now. I'm going to put on my counselling hat.
And not your Janet Jackson backup dancer hat.
No, that is in the car.
Not required at this
stage.
It's
actually become my driving hat. That's a whole other story.
That is a whole thing. Does it help with blocking the sun out? Or?
No, not at all. It just looks cool.
So, through these challenging times, and, you know, we've all been through various stages of lockdowns and restrictions over the last year or so.
It's been really tough.
It has been tough. This one's been particularly tough, I've found, for me. I think it's the indefiniteness of it. Last time I was kind of fine. We're all in it together as well. But this time it's a very small area that's kind of locked down.
Yeah, sure.
So, everyone kind of got their new habit or their new hobby. And for many people, it was baking bread.
Oh, my God. How many sourdough starters did we see on Instagram?
Literally, you could feed a village.
Last lockdown, it was like everyone just decided, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bake some bread.
Yeah, why not? Never done this in the last 35 years.
And
just start
why,
now.
Like, why not?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you bake your own bread?
Did you pull together any kind of hobby in lockdown?
Not really. Not that springs to mind. Like, I just sort of cracked on with the home workout regime.
Yeah.
So I used before. So this is last year.
Yeah.
And I wasn't at work at this time. I was just a stay-at-home mum, just living the mum life. And so I would just do my workouts religiously. That was what really helped me get through being at home with a
I've been walking most days, so I've kind of kept the exercise up, but I haven't become obsessive with it. What I have become obsessive with, I need you to see.
Okay. I'm paying full attention. So this is your new lockdown obsession.
Yes.
And you need some advice on whether this is a good or a bad thing?
I think it's going to be a bad thing, but I'll let you be the judge. I'm handing you my phone. I've opened the screen time section that shows you my most used apps last week. Can you read out what the top used app of last week was?
Candy Crush. Is that it? 11 hours? You spent 11 hours on Candy Crush? Well, you have a trophy.
No, that's not a trophy.
Oh, what's that?
That's a timer.
Oh.
Because I've had to.
I was like, you're obviously really good at it. So I've given you, like, that to me looks like a gold trophy. Like, Nick spent 11 hours and 38 minutes on Candy Crush Saga, but you got a trophy out of it. And who doesn't love a bit of validation?
Absolutely. I've begun the recovery process by placing a 90-minute daily timer on it that tells me I can't play it anymore after 90 minutes. However, producer Ash out there did catch me sitting at my desk here at the radio station the other day. Playing Candy Crush in the middle of the workday.
Look, it's usually don't come from a place of judgment, but it's really difficult right now. I'm totally judging you, mate. That's a problem. I don't know that is going to serve you well. Can you find, I'm not all anti-screen time.
Yeah.
But, like, Candy Crush, what are you achieving? Is it like Fruit Ninja? I find Fruit Ninja really satisfying.
I'm achieving lots and lots of levels and lots of striped candies and lots of chocolate freckles that make the whole board explode. That's what I'm achieving. How do I stop?
I think you need to start playing Fruit Ninja.
What are we talking about?
As I was saying, I'm loving the DIY life at the moment. And Glenn, my husband, he's doing a reno and we do have a giant, like, monster of a hole in the wall.
It's hole in the wall.
So we wanted to ask people on 131060 to call us up if you've got a hole in the wall. And I'm not even joking. Jules Lund is on the line. Hi, Jules.
Look, Maz, Nick. It's shaped like a person doing a walk like an Egyptian. It's polystyrene, and if you don't walk like an Egyptian, it will push you into a pool.
Oh, my God, man.
Sorry, I don't think that you did justice to introducing the guest that's on the phone right now, so I'll let this voiceover guy do it.
It's Hole in the Wall. Here's the host of the hole, Jules Lund.
Yeah!
Jules, I do honestly, like, I know I give you a little bit about hosting Hole in the Wall, but it was such a great show. Can we bring it back?
I don't know if you heard then, Maz, but he introduced me as the host of The Hole.
Yeah, he did.
That is a career lowlight. Nick Kelly, you know this sort of century-old battle between Maz and I because I stole her career after cheating on X Games. And
yep.
It peaked, and she was jealous.
Oh, so jealous, man.
She heard Jules Lund, the host of The Hole, and went, thank God I didn't take that sliding doors part.
This could have been your life. This could have been in your Mike Munro book of This Is Your Life.
Like, I know that you're my career nemesis, Jules, but in all seriousness, like, I did think the show was really great entertainment.
Did you think the show was good when you were doing it?
Yes.
No.
No, Jules, come on.
I had
human beings in Lycra trying to get through odd-shaped holes in a wall or they get pushed into a pool. What's not to love?
Ratings.
There was celebrity. So was there a celebrity season of Hole in the Wall?
It was only celebrity season. We ran out of so many celebrities. I even brought my cousin in to do one.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm not even kidding you. And he's not even in the media. It's just that no one wanted to do it. But the point is, execs, TV execs, saw a viral YouTube clip that should have lasted for a minute and went, how do we turn this into 8 half an hour episode?
It's Hole in the Wall.
So good. Hey, Jules, so I was just explaining, like, Glenn, my gorgeous husband, he's renovating a house.
God,
this is how
I love Glenn. Don't say a bad word about him.
I would never.
Absolute dream.
Everyone crushes hard on my husband, but he's renovating our house. This is how this all came up. There is a hole in our wall at the moment, but what I'm thinking I'm going to do today when I get home, I'm going to ask Glenn if he can make it like a particular shape. I'm going to get him to make it a shape like it's the show, and then we might like film a little bit of Hole in the Wall at home and then send it to you so you can relive the glory days.
Well, no one knows better than Nick that would get mad engagement on social platforms.
Absolutely. 100%. Hashtag yes. Tribe.
And the glory days of Hole in the Wall would be the glory hole, would it not?
It's 8 o'clock.
I'm out.
Kids in cars.
See you, buddy. Thanks,
it's Hole in the Wall. It's time for Toddler Tales.
That's the best opener on this show, I think.
It really just sums up what being a parent to a toddler feels like. It's just glorious and beautiful and gentle at times. And then it is a goddamn nightmare staring you in the face.
Demon child.
It really is. And you love it all. And we're all in the trenches together, which is why we tell our toddler tales. 131060, if you've got a toddler tale this morning, a time from maybe when your kids who are older now were younger and it's like that go-to story that you love embarrassing them with at Christmas time when the relatives are over, tell us.
Evidence Skincare $200 prize pack from these guys. Evidence Skincare formulated from evidence developed by Dr. Ginny Mansberg.
That's how you know it's good because Dr. Ginny Mansberg knows her stuff. Now, we've got Christy on 131060. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your toddler tale today?
He's now 22, but when he was 3,
yes,
he climbed up on top of my kitchen cabinet, so the top cabinet, and he took off a whole bottle of migraine tablets. He was nice and quiet. I went into the kitchen and here he was having a good old munch on the
whole Oh, my God!
Oh, no, that's not.
Was he okay?
No, that's not
he's
good.
He's fine. He's 22 now.
But is he okay?
Sounds like what a dog does.
Be my challenge.
So they say, like paediatricians say, if you've got any of that stuff, like if you've got, you know, your tablets and your vitamins and all of the pills and potions that you need when you're an adult just to get through one day of parenting a toddler, keep it all in the top cupboards because then they can't get their fat, grubby hands on it.
Well, this was on top of the top cupboard. It was on top of my kitchen cabinet.
And did he try out for Ninja Warrior this year? Or has he done anything with that skill set?
No, he's always been my climber. He jumped on top of the on the shed and then he'd scream out to me to come get him. And I instantly always had to look up because he could never get down.
Oh, my God.
They have no fear. It's really quite amazing.
There's no process. There's no thought process. Here. Absolutely not.
There's just no logic and no fear. It's a really bad combination, actually. That's why you cannot take your eyes off them. Christy, thanks for your call this morning. Brooke has called through on 131060. Good morning, Brooke.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good. What is your toddler tale today? Oh, there
we can hear it.
I'm not in the background at the moment.
Mom!
About 5 years ago, getting my daughter ready, she was two at the time, to have a shower, and I was busy getting the bath ready, and I turned around and there was a little present on the floor for me. And I said, what's this? She goes, Mum, I don't know. Who did this? Completely horrified that it had even come out of her. I think she had no idea what had happened.
Oh, that's amazing. Just like full-blown denial.
Denial. She didn't do it. She was horrified that it was on the floor.
Oh, no.
What is this?
What is this?
It's exited
Where did
me.
It come from?
Where did it come from? I mean, well, there's an anatomy conversation that we can have about that.
Well, you guys are doing potty training at the moment, aren't you? Are you having similar incidents?
We are. Do you know what? Not really like anything to do with the potty necessarily, but one thing that Henry does a lot at the moment is like, because we're changing our house around because we're renovating, and he'll walk into the room and if something's different, he goes, oh no, what happened? It just sounds so cute.
That's adorable.
It's just, and I can imagine if Brooke's story happened to Henry, that would be his response. He'd be like, oh no, what happened?
Brookie, we'll sort you out with a $200 evidence-based skincare prize pack. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's all right, Dylan. Have
no
a
worries,
good day.
Friend. Carly is in Wagga. Morning, Carly.
Good morning.
Hey, babe, what's your toddler tale?
I have a three-year-old boy that's a bit of an exhibitionist. Every time he goes to the toilet, he has to take his pants, his underwear and his shoes and socks off, even when we're out in public. So if we're at the pub having dinner, if I miss him for a little while, I have to look around and find him who will be naked on the way down. And then I have to retrace his steps. So I have to pick up his pants, pick up his shoes, pick up his socks and redress him before everybody starts looking at me. I'm a really bad mother.
Carly.
Yeah.
All I have to say to you, darling, is that the apple does not fall far from the tree.
Well, that's it for Gaunty and Maz today. Missed any of the show? Download the Listener app now and enjoy with the Mac family, which has just arrived at Macca's. This is who.